Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me for this week's edition of Runcast. A lot going on. I keep saying that each week, actually. Springtime is an active time. Convergence of high school, UVA. Of course, UVA was pretty much off this week because of exams. And then local races and training programs. We're heating up fast. A couple of things really neat this week. UVA broke ground for their brand new track facility over at Lanigan. Jason Vigilante and company. Greg Littlepage, really neat stuff. Of course, closed to the public until the foreseeable future. When they, it's looking like December or January they'll be finished up. They gotta have the facility finished. Little pressure on them, but they should be able to get it going by spring next year because we're hosting the conference meet, ACC meet, first time in many years. And I don't want to hype up too much, but it'll pretty much be the nicest facility in the conference when it's all said and done. This is phase one. And ultimately end up with lights and brick stands and columns and a lot of beautiful shrubbery and gorgeous entranceway, bathrooms, scoreboard. And then, of course, the neat thing is that perimeter track. So you have your normal oval and then a perimeter, 500-meter perimeter oval to do tempo-type workouts, cool-down, whatever. It's really great. And so we're excited for the university, for the program, for the athletes. And it looks like they've got it set up so the kids don't really need to The athletes don't need to miss much time because they don't really work out on the track in the fall. So they miss the end of the spring and then part of the fall. We were over at Charlottesville High School this morning. My gang that I coach, community people, that was neat over there. Rick Lilly's given us permission. That's a nice facility over there also. Little known. Some people, old-time Charlottesville people were showing up this morning and saying, I got a little disoriented and turned around. I don't really know where the track is. I know where Charlottesville High School is.
Right.
I always find that interesting. Us folks, you know, you get in your own zip code, so to speak, in your own turf. And Charlottesville High School, really, you know, centrally located. It's the only city school, and track's been there forever. So we introduced a lot of locals this morning to their local city school track.
Yeah, that's where we had the 5K, I guess it was.
Yeah, the Run for Autism.
3 or 4 weeks ago now.
In the pouring rain. But yeah, it was good. So we had a big slew of people there working on that. Brings up the point, too, if anybody listening is new to listening or new to the area or new to running. We do speed workouts every Wednesday. It's open to anybody. It's free. You just have to currently be running. It's not for someone who's a brand new runner. I would not want to see someone doing these types of speed workouts that has no background in running. But if you have been running and you want to improve, we're always looking for folks to come on out and join. It's all over the map pace-wise. And right now we're concentrating on shorter stuff, getting people ready for 5Ks, summer races, women's 4 miler, men's 4 miler type distances. So that's Wednesday mornings, 5:30 at CHS. Got to get used to saying that. 2012 Olympic trials tickets went on sale this week. That's the track trials at Hayward Field, the cathedral of widely considered to be the most revered facility in the United States. Of course, home of Steve Prefontaine and Bowerman and Phil Knight, you know, the roots of Nike. And really neat. We went in 2008, the family, and we weren't going to go again because we really had a fantastic time, but it's expensive and it's time away. And every one of our kids, I mean, it was unanimous, said, please, let's go again. And the enticing thing this time around is that we really feel pretty strong that we're going to have several locals that are going to be there, and a few of them are going to have a chance to make it to the big dream, to London. So, of course, you know, the Anthony Kostolak and Robbie Andrews and Lance Roller, a lot of the UVA folks, they're barring something fluky happening, a lot of those guys will be there at the trials. And then stranger things have happened. Andrew Weeding, sophomore at Oregon, 2008, little known, not a huge running background. He was nowhere near as heralded Robbie Andrews coming out of high school. And he comes from back of the pack, basically his home track, and snatches the third spot and makes the Olympic team in the 800. Very neat. And then I think we've got a shot with some of our RMR guys. Donnie Cowart in the steeple, we talked about him last week. He made the A standard for the U.S. National Championships this summer. If he continues to improve, he could be one of the guys that's in the favorite group, which would be really neat. So anyway, big investment, but really fantastic time. I think the tickets are still on sale. Oregon is really a gorgeous state. We spent 2 weeks out there. The cool thing, Mike, is that they have the races in the evening.
Right.
So we got to tool around during the day, the ocean, the Oregon coast. I mean, way, Virginia's coast does not have anything over the Oregon coast. Sorry, Virginia. We have a beautiful state. We love to brag about our state. But, you know, it's funny sometimes you get outside the state line. Sometimes you say, there's some other neat places, too, in this country.
And Oregon's one of those.
Oregon is, come on.
It's one of those places I'd love to go to. I've been to Seattle, Washington, and I've been to Vancouver and Victoria. And Victoria's
beautiful
gorgeous.
Too.
But I did not stop in Portland and in different spots
Oregon
in Oregon.
It has desert. It has
so cool.
Almost a jungle type, rainforest. It's got beautiful rivers, the Columbia Gorge River. It's got Mount Hood, where the U.S. ski team practices in the summertime, 12,000 feet. And then it's got this coastline that's to die for. I mean, it's got all those, they call them those haystacks, those rock outcroppings in the middle of the ocean. They look like Monet's haystacks. Well, they're out in the middle of the ocean. It's just big rock outcrops. So anyway,
too cool.
One all day long. So in the books over the weekend, VMI and Fluvanna Invitationals in high school track. Oh, my gosh, we had some really great performances there. Things are heating up. This is pretty much the end of the regular season for the high school athletes, and then they move into their district, regional, and states. And over at Fluvanna, that was Friday evening, Steve Sharmack and company putting on a great meet. Ben Schiller, Western, first in the mile, 4:30. Avery Martin, second in the mile. Michael Idziak, Fuma, we don't talk about Fuma very often. Winston Brown, really good job with his athletes over the years. And 1:55 for 800, I think that's the fastest local time we've seen run for a high schooler this spring thus far. Brady Coleman, second in the 3200 from Louisa. And then Claire Moretz from Madison. She's got all the school records in the mile and 2 miles. She ran 11:24, one of the faster times we've seen this spring in the 2 mile. She was first in that event. Madeline Hermsmeyer was third, 12:06. And then Javonique Burris and Tony Green, the two whiz kids from Louisa, tore it up in their events. And then the next day, had the VMI Invitational down, of course, at Lexington. Allison Huschke, 11:45 in 2 mile, 5:28, 1600. She's from Albemarle. She's back running after missing about 4 weeks with she's only been back for about 4 weeks. She missed about 2.5 months with an injury. Colin Williams from Western broke 2 minutes for the first time in his life. Man, 1:58 for the 800. Congrats to him. William Pluzogan, PR, 4:33, 32. Aaron Elder from Albemarle ran a 20-second PR. Alec was telling me this yesterday. Alec helps me with a lot of these stats, by the way, each week. You know, it's really great. Cool story in Aaron Elder. He ran a 20-second PR, 10:17. Tremendous time. Sophomore. His dad, Stephen Elder, Alec told me this story yesterday, very cool, trained for the Boston Marathon while he was in Afghanistan serving the Army. I think it's the Army, for 6 months. Came back home, and actually, he's a guy that is training in a bad environment, heat-wise, benefited him on a really funky day. He ran 2 hours and 58 minutes as Stephen Elder, so congrats to him.
Wow.
It's a little late-breaking news here, but Alec told
cool
me that
story.
Little trivia bit. It's a father-son having a good spring. Two 10th graders, Almar, broke 6 minutes in the mile for the first time. That's kind of always a neat thing to report. Megan Farabaugh and Hannah Connor, congrats to them. And then a neat story, Joe Cron. Cron, he's a runner over at Albemarle. He won his first race of his life as a high schooler, 2:07. He ran the Spotswood Invitational last week, a little smaller meet. And that's a really neat moment. All these little kind of breakthroughs kind of go unchecked. You don't see it in the stats. When somebody runs a PR, it doesn't say PR next to it. When somebody breaks 6 minutes for the first time, it doesn't say this is the first time. And certainly when you win your first race, you know, it's a shout-out moment. So
absolutely.
Congrats to all these kids. It's always so fun to root for them. William Pluzogan, I talked about earlier, his sister Erin, she was a Western runner. She's now at the College of Worcester. She broke her own school record for the steeplechase, ran 11:22 at the North Coast Athletic Conference Championships last week. That's quite a family, really excellent kids in that family. I had the pleasure of teaching both of them Sunday school, interestingly enough, Aaron and William, and so neat to see them doing well. William Pluzogen off to William & Mary next year, he told me the other day, so shout out to him as he finishes up his Western career. We were just chock-a-block full with foot races over the weekend. We had five, count them, at least five events over the weekend that were open to the community, including a kids' duathlon on Sunday, the Dogwood Duathlon, Kim Starr and company up at Forest Lakes. Great job there. I was involved with a couple of them on Saturday, starting with the Monte Alto Challenge. You've done it before, Mike.
Yes.
We had a record-breaking 230 folks. 60 of them were walkers, so we had 170 folks climb the mountain with running, and another 60 or so walk it. Tremendous job. Andrew Schrader dethroned Alec.
Ooh.
He's now king of the mountain. Alec did not run the race. He chose to help his father. He said, I just don't want to hurt that much again, Dad.
Yeah.
Alec's PR is down in the 15s for 5K, and he ran 20 minutes something last year. And
yep.
Schrader ran 21:23 to take the King of the Mountain jersey. Phil Curran second, Hernan Garbini third. And then Eliza O'Connell successfully defended her title, 23:58. Eliza O'Connell is now, again, excuse me, he's not now, as she is, continues to reign as Queen of the Mountain. And this is legit stuff.
Yes.
We joke about it, we laugh about it, but you can get up that mountain in 23 minutes and 58 seconds as female and 21 minutes, 23 seconds as male. Pretty good stuff because it's a 1,200-foot, you know, ascent. And you've seen it. It's beautiful scenery.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I can't remember my time exactly, but it was, I usually around then was getting a 5K pace around 25 minutes mm-hmm. or so, something in that ballpark. I probably ran that between 32 and 33 yeah. minutes.
That's about right, because the faster you are, of course, the closer you'll be to your time. So Alec was about 5 to 6 minutes off his normal time.
Right.
You would be 7 to 8 minutes, and slower back you go, the more the handicap. So pretty cool stuff. We have, you know, hats off to the folks at Monticello, Glenn Slauson, and who really is a driving force, him and Jason, a fellow who helps me put the event on, and then Peter Hatch for literally, spurring the idea on. Big tip of the cap to Leslie Bowman, who runs Monticello, the executive director, for really opening up the property. Two beautiful
sure.
pieces of property, the Saunders Trail and then up to the top. Liz Blaine, Peter and Lou Hatch, Peggy Cornett, they were all Monticello folks. They were in the race. And we had several families, the Nash family, the Hemingway family, and then a really cool thing, Carter and Wick McNeely walked the mountain, and their granddaughter, Seal Craig, ran the mountain, and she actually won her age group, which was really neat. Other races in note, Drew Nick, he was the won his age group, but he was the part of the, they had a challenge between the firefighters and the policemen. The firefighters just dusted the policeman, left him on the mountain there, so to speak. They took the first trophy, challenge trophy, this year. It's a new thing, a new concept. So the firefighters showed up in force, and I guess they're better climbers than the policemen. I don't know who, but if this is spurring on any trash talking out
yeah,
there,
right.
Great, let it go. So be it. It'd be fun to see the challenge going. Leah Connor, Sarah Colley, Andy Jones Wilkins, he's a new headmaster at Tandem. He won his age group. Paul Ferrier, Charlie Beckham, Jerry M. Peggy Mowbray, Linda Scanner, Craig Sayers, and then Harlan Brown, he's in his mid-70s. He was the oldest, the old man of the mountain. He won his age group 70 and over. So Sophie Spidell, great ultramarathoner, was runner-up. Second place, 26:41. Kristen Keller, 26:51. That was a close between second and third, only 10 seconds. But interesting enough, in the top 14, the top three women came in. That's pretty impressive. Liza was like 6th overall. 7th overall. Sophie was 13th. Kristen 14th. And then, of course, on the other side of town, we had the second oldest race in the area, the Batesville 10K. No slouch of an event itself, with a 3-mile climb and then a 3-mile descent. Hamp Carruth and the Batesville Rotans putting on a great job there for their 33rd annual Batesville 10K. Bill Potts won his first race since 2001. He works over in the heart transplant division at the UVA Health Center. Congrats to him and Beth Catone, the female champion. The evening event that I was involved with was Jennifer Wells' Moonlight Run. Totally. We could actually see up to Monte Alto because it's a Monticello High track. And I was thinking, what a totally different event.
Yeah.
2 flat miles, not a single hiccup of a hill.
Right.
Not even a little mogul, nothing. And no slight to it. It's, you know, you run it a little faster, obviously sweat a little bit more, different kind of sweat. And that was kind of fun because Audrey, my daughter, and she actually won her age group, which I don't know if she's ever done before. That was
very nice.
And then Annie, my other daughter, and Cynthia. They all ran together, and I helped Cindy Payne and her four sisters. Cindy, of course, is the mom of Jennifer Wells. Jennifer Wells tragically passed. She was a second year at UVA. Meningitis caught her. It's a 2-day affair, so to speak, and that's a really quickly moving, you know, devastating illness. And they raised a ton of money for meningitis research. It's great. Dave Myers was the champ on the men's side and Leah Connor on the women's side. Justin Pinchum, I call out to him. He ran Batesville in the morning and he ran Jennifer Wells in the evening. And Leah Connor ran Mont Alto in the morning, Jennifer Wells in the evening. And Karen Derlin Jones, she ran Mont Alto in the morning and Jennifer Wells in the evening. That's quite a doubleheader. I always warn people, be careful. I think that's, you know, probably better to go that way than the other way. Run the harder one in the morning, kind of a cool down the evening. But
yeah,
be really careful on the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday after a doubleheader like that. But congrats to them. Pretty iron horse type stuff there. Deb Gilbert, call out to her. She's a good buddy of mine. Helped coach over the years, really. One of my favorites, actually. She's huge help to me in a lot of ways. I'll talk about her now in regard to volunteering. She and Ellen Howell are my volunteers of the week because they helped me in the morning at Mont Alto, and then they came out in the evening to help me with Jennifer Wells. Now, talk about a great doubleheader. Ellen and Deb, really two wonderful track club folks, and had the pleasure of coaching them over the years, and what a nice payback they helped with. And Deb, congrats to her. She finished the Eugene Marathon on the 1st of May, and they got to finish with a lap on Hayward Field. So you might recognize Deb, all those Crutchfield ads that are running now on the radio, right up your alley, Mike.
Sure.
She's the voice.
Okay.
She's talking about Blu-ray players currently. Yeah. That's her soothing voice, Deb Gilbert. And she's also the one,
right,
if you ever call Crutchfield, and you get her, it's her, she's the introductory voice, the welcoming voice. There.
Right.
So she's got some good legs, too. She can
run
a marathon.
Very
so
cool.
Good voice, good legs. So good for Deb. We had someone send in actually somebody listening out there. It's great. But send into our Facebook page, said talk a little bit about stretching this week. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but we'll talk about it again.
It's funny you say that. I actually had somebody approach me with the same question. And
maybe it's the same person.
Maybe it was.
We communicate with a lot of people, so we think we have lots of listeners here. But actually, you were saying we're up to about 200, 250 folks, you know, listening each week, which is pretty neat. We'd love for you to spread the word so we can keep this going. That'd be nice, a little plug there. But anyway, stretching. This has really evolved over the years. I've been coaching for 30 years now, and this is one of those kind of mini brags here, but I have never been ever high on the idea of static stretching prior to your run, where you're leaning against the wall, you're pulling on your leg, you're on the ground, pushing off of your body. You're actually taking those cold fibers and wrenching at them, and they're cold because you're either coming out of bed or out of a sitting mode.
Yep.
when you run or walk for exercise. And I've always found this to be detrimental. So I've always had my athletes do the dynamic stretching, which is, you know, skipping, hopping, jumping jacks, running backwards, sashaying, and just getting their body without touching themselves, so to speak.
Right.
Just a natural way to warm your fibers up. And then, of course, the most critical part of pre-run stretching is your first half mile. And one of the big, how often we talk about, Mike?
Sure.
It's almost like we could have the subtitle of Runcast be Start Slowly.
Right.
And it works, and it really works in injury prevention. So I'm gotten a lot slower over the years, but when I was conversational pace, 7-minute pace was my kind of aerobic heart rate, gabbing pace. I could chug along, talk at this rate and run at the same time.
Yep.
I would start with about an 820 to 830 pace for my first half mile to 3/4 mile. Now I'm about a 930 pace runner when I'm out there tooling along. Lost a couple of minutes over the years. I start at 10:30 to 11-minute pace for my first half mile. Naturally warm my body up. Don't surprise it. Let things get flowing, the blood moving, and just feeling like my fibers are getting opened up a little bit. Then I'll pick up the pace a little bit.
I got a question that sort of just jumped to my mind. How would you feel if people asked you about if, let's say, you're running a 5K or a 10K, going out and running a half mile before the race at a casual pace to get your body warm?
Actually, it's not how I feel. I feel very strongly you should warm up prior to a shorter distance race.
Right.
Marathon, you don't. You call your first 2 miles your warm up.
Right.
A half marathon, unless you've gotten a 15, 16-mile run on your belt prior to in your training, On race day, you probably want to make your first 1 or 2 miles a true warm-up. But 5K, oh my gosh, usually a person who's running 5K has done 6 or 7 or 8 miles as their long run. They can afford to run 1, 2. I know Cynthia, in her day, she would run 3 miles prior to her 5K efforts, warm up really well. And then once you're warmed up, then you can begin to work on your specific stretches that are specific to your weaknesses.
Right.
Hamstring, you know, iliotibial band, Achilles, calf. What is it that you want to work on? And then you would go into some kind of a static mode. But, you know, you do that prior to, we use the silly putty analogy that my buddy Jamie Collins uses. He's a physical therapist over at Pantops. And he says, you know, you think of silly putty out of the egg. Mike, if you and I in this tiny room here wanted to stretch out that egg, get cold out of the cup, it would snap in my hands before it even got in your hands as I pulled it apart. But if I, the whole time I'm talking here, if I was warming up, kneading it, rolling my hands, then we could go out, open the door, go down the hall here at the studio, go all the way down past Rick and Jane, go down to where Jay James is down the other end of the building, and still have that strand. Well, without it snapping, you know, holding one end from the other. So I would say pre-run, you do that dynamic stuff, and then post-run, then you can go to your, you know, slamming off the wall or grabbing at your, I actually was doing a demonstration recently. I was doing a talk, bunch of executives, and I said, never, ever grab your body in any kind of contorted mode and wrench on it, stretching-wise, prior to your run. I said, like this, and I went and grabbed my ankle, and I did kind of a quad stretch, the classic one where you take your heel and bash it up against your butt cheek, and I strained a quad muscle. I was sore for about 4 days after that, my right quad, where I thought I was living proof, and I hadn't even done it that hard. But I was coming out of work, got in the car, drove over to this talk, no movement whatsoever to speak of. And I go in there and do this talk cold, and boom, I injure myself telling them not to do this.
That's funny.
Same thing. So anyway, you know, consult your physical therapist, your doctor, or go online for specific stretches. Our staff is really good, particularly our experienced ones, Audrey's and Alex and Mike's, Seth's a really good, Chris Post, Rachel, they're really great at specific stretches for specific injuries. But, oh my, I think it's common sense now. We're seeing less and less high school coaches, less and less college coaches having these big group stretch sessions, which they're great for team building, but they're lousy for there's all the research now has shown that there's a greater chance of getting injured if you stretch like that prior to run than if you don't stretch at all.
I just keep thinking back to like soccer practice and a bunch of 12-year-olds all just sitting around in a circle.
It's the thing to do.
Right. It's just what you do.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
Now there's no reason for that. It's just like the overstriding we've talked about many times.
Sure.
We'll talk about that in a future run cast again. It's worth pounding that one in. But this is the type of stuff next Monday I'm going to be alerting these half marathoners and marathoners to. So, and I give you an example. This morning we had 200 meter workout. That's a short turnover, quick turnover, faster type paced workout. They had an extra warm-up session, extra stretching session prior, but it was all skips and hops and bounding and running backwards, and they were ready to go. Knock wood, I didn't see anybody pull up in the middle of the workout and grab their hamstring and say, coach, I'm out. Giving back Jennifer Wells, $60,000 over the last 3 or 4 years to meningitis research. That's Cindy Payne, her sisters. And then a call out to Dan Bayless. He's the team and training coach, has done it for years. Exercise phys grad, nurse. He's a jack of all trades. He's a personal trainer now, Dan Bayless. Wonderful guy. He's going to the Dublin Marathon in October, and he's doing it through team and training. So he's trying to raise a ton of money. So anybody out there knows Dan, and he's touched your life at any level along the way, it'd be nice to send a few dollars his way to help him out to get there. Upcoming events, it's getting a little quieter. I just finished saying at the beginning of the podcast, the Runcast, that we're getting kind of crazy busy, but got a little bit of a break this weekend. The Red Hill School 5K down in North Garden. Go support those folks. Kathy Von Storch and company, that's a great outfit, great PTO, great school, great country school. Go on out and support them this Saturday. And on Monday, I really want to call out Schultzel Track Club training program for anyone wanting to run any fall half marathon or marathon. That's the unique thing about this program. It's not driving you towards Marine Corps or Richmond. We had 32 different events last year, 200 people that participated. I get to coach them, and really, it's very personalized. We try to make it as personalized as possible. That kicks off this Monday. If you miss the meeting, 6 o'clock at St. Paul's on the University Avenue, No problem. Sign up, charlottesvilletrackclub.org, and then you can come by the store to pick up your materials. We have a kids clinic. It's free next Saturday, the 21st. Anybody has kids or knows of kids that would like doing something like that, 3 to 12 years old, this is a prep for the Discovery Dash, which is on the 28th, the largest kids race in Virginia. And that's over at Monticello Track. The kids track clinic is at Charlottesville High School, 8:30, and it's hosted by the Children's Hospital at UVA. And then on the 21st, so that's next Saturday, I know it's getting a little confusing, but Bright Stars 5K over at Greer Elementary. Terry Higgins does a great job with that every year. Men's 4-miler race entries are now available. John Freeman has been helping us a ton with this. A big call out to him volunteering. Go to Charlottesville Men's 4-miler. There's a site. I think if you Google that, you go right to the website, and he's responsible for that. It's beautiful. And, of course, what's the cool thing about that this year? It's Father's Day. And we get to finish on the 50. That's the theme this year, finishing four on the 50. And then your face, your body, your everything lit up the Jumbotron. And that's we're looking for that. So the entries are ready. And it's not a race that closes. Historically, we've had about 300. We're hoping to get about 500 this year. Be great. Runners of the week, Andrew Schrader, Liza O'Connell, of course, King and Queen. They truly are. I mean, Liza distancing herself. Let me go back and look at that again. She was 3 minutes, almost 3 minutes ahead of Sophie there, and Sophie is one great runner, so she really deserves a round of applause. And then Andrew, he's a resident, like I said, over at UVA. He did a great job. Bill Potts, first road race and first road win since 2001, so 10 years. Potts, welcome back. Batesville champion. Allison Huschke, Claire Moretz, Aaron Plews-Ogan, Aaron Elder, these are all high schoolers, and the one fella, Michael Idziak, the 800-meter runner, a call-out to all these folks for great efforts. And then the double headers, Leah and Karen and Justin.
That's something else.
Hope you guys are doing okay this week. I saw Justin actually was there this morning doing a workout with us. So he got the Big Pants Award. We do this every week. Mike, I don't know if I ever told you about it. They have to do a lap around the group in the parking lot. We call someone out for something exceptional. Sometimes it's non-running related. Somebody's engaged, somebody's birthday, somebody had a baby. But in this case, it was a running accomplishment. When Justin was a doubleheader man, he did his lap around the group in these. They're these gigantic pants that probably would even be baggy on Charles Barkley. Maybe not baggy today on Charles Barkley,
right?
But in his playing days. And it's kind of a fun thing we do every week. So, all right, everyone, thanks for listening in, and stay on your feet, and we'll talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.